What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
Another Saturday night is upon us, which means it's another time to ask, what the fuck, right, Jillian?
What the fuck are you doing listening to the show instead of being out partying?
Well, no. They can get the show on wireless devices and that they can listen to this while out partying. Don't put them
into
a little box.
That's why people like us. They're completely smashed, so we seem hilarious.
Yeah, because the things we talk about are often so funny, right? Maybe they'll agree or disagree with this week's...
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So, Jillian, what does a library mean to you? When you hear the word library, what is that? What picture does that put in your head?
Books, studying, quiet.
So rows and rows of computers, and that's all, does not qualify as a library to you.
That's an internet cafe, I'm pretty sure.
And you know what? I don't disagree with you, but the first bookless all-digital library has opened in Bexar County, Texas. 48 computers hooked up to 600 e-readers, and they have their entire library as digital. Now, before you go on about anything, I want to read the dictionary definition of what a library is.
Hold up here. People know what a library is. This is dumbest thing, and we have an actual topic. We need to get this moving.
To be called a library, you need to fall into what the
definition
of a library is.
No. Oh, wait. I'm going, who's the boss on this shit?
All right, Alyssa.
No, that wasn't a... Well, okay, Tony Danza did too. Anyway, the whole going by a definition, do you know how many definitions have been changed? That's kind of moot. You can't go... Don't be that guy that pulls out the definition! Webster's Dictionary says...
Did you just call Bill Cosby on me with that?
I don't know. Probably a little bit. What I'm saying is they amended the term literally. Now they have an amendment for the definition of literally to state that it is an exaggeration of people, would have to look it up, but basically saying that people use the term literally when it's not applicable. So they added that into the dictionary because people say, like, it literally took me like 100 hours to do this. But they don't mean literally. So what has society become? Oh, we updated the definition of literally to show that it's an exaggeration. You don't actually mean it.
They bastardized literally?
They did. And to me, I like poor little figuratively is sitting in the corner crying because he's not important anymore.
Well, let's get back to the books then, or lack thereof. It's not a book if it's on an iPod, if it's on an e-reader, if I'm reading it off of a computer. To me, the word book, it doesn't apply the way it does to the modern generation. But you got to remember, Jillian, and I'm not taking a shot at you, you're older than these kids now who have redefined those terms.
They have kids nowadays. Okay, here is my issue. I understand if an e-reader is your thing, whatever. I would rather have the binding. And Egon Spengler was right. Print is dead. But when you go to a library, there's something about, you know, browsing the books and say, I want to take this home with me. It's basically a rental place with books. If you're talking about downloading it onto your e-reader, what have you, it's not really the same. And to sit there at a computer, it's like, I can do that at home. There's nothing that you can really find on a computer library other than these e-books. And I guess you use your library card to download it into your e-reader.
And you get it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, so you get it for 2 weeks. But I'm just like, so now... I can foresee this. Basically, you're going to have the whole piracy because people are going to get a hold of these books. There's going to be hacks and copies. So basically, it's going to be like what we have with DVD-Rs and people burning DVDs off of rentals and that whole rigmarole like we had with, tapes and VHSs back in the day. This is just another medium that is going to be intended as a, hey, here's a preview, and then you have to give it back, and then it's going to start getting pirated, and that's not even the main issue. This is just one of them, and I think maybe this is going to turn into a topic I was trying to condense. When you go to a library, you know, I mean, forget about, oh, well, they're supposed to have all of the cards are written. If you want that digital, you know, that's fine. Basically, this is coming about due to cutbacks and, you know, with technology and everything, which, okay, yeah, if kids need to research stuff and they don't have a computer at home, fine. But it's like, then just do an internet cafe. Don't call it a library. And the fact that they project, I think, in 1 or 2 decades, almost all libraries will go, you know, bookless. That'll all be digital.
100 years. The San Rafael of the public library in
California. Oh, I'm sorry. 10 to 20%.
Yeah, 10 to 20%
of libraries will go bookless in the next decade. My bad.
Right.
I was getting the 10 and the 20 mixed up. So my thing is, especially kids, and we've talked about this on over dependence on technology episodes before, kids need to read a book. And I'm not talking, oh, high school, you know, I'm talking my first book type things, turning the pages, motor skills, things like that. They shouldn't be glued to a screen, you know, 100% and have, you know, books reading to them. Parents, basically, they sit their kids down with the book that talks to them and they go and do their thing. And it's kind of like the fabric of society is it's gone from here's babysitter TV, leave me alone, to almost the entirety of life. And obviously not all parents are like that, but it's getting there. When you take out all of the books of the library, I mean, that's our history. It's reported that Fairfax County's library system destroyed 250,000 books. I mean, the residents were angry. So at least that's some hope. But why would you destroy? That's our history. You know, if you don't want to keep them in your county, ship them off. I mean, how many schools still have, you know, the donate books to less fortunate program?
It's about storage and about money. Jillian, I read an article.
What money do you get from destroying books? You destroyed them.
Because you no longer have to store them. It's the same reason that...
That's fine. Give them away to somebody else. Give them away to, you know, another city, state, what have you.
They don't see it like that. They, for whatever reason, don't see it like that. It's the same reason that Hollywood has gone and destroyed all the lost scenes from all these old movies. They couldn't afford to store them anymore. And in the pre-DVD era, nobody want, you know, deleted scenes. Who cares about that? So these are just costing us money to keep in a vault.
No.
Who cares?
I'm going to stop you right there. I cannot see the comparison on extra features of a DVD. And I get it. Movie buffs. I love extra features too. We are talking about 250,000 books, actual complete books. These were not deleted things from a media or anything like that. I mean, do you understand that it holds more gravity than deleted scenes from movies that exist?
No, I do. And Crack.com did an article a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, and it was factual. You know, they cited their sources and whatnot. I think it was either L.A. or New York. One of their libraries was destroying books that were over 100 years old in a fire, and they had a security firm that was hired to make sure the people that were destroying these weren't stuffing one in their pants to take home, because these were books that were worth money, and they were saying no, legally, because remember, libraries are usually government subsidized,
right?
So that means they cannot go out of their way to make a profit. So they can't find a first edition Edgar Allan Poe book in their thing and go, you know what? Let's go and sell this on eBay. They have to either allow you to check that out or destroy it. There is no middle ground because of the way the laws are written.
Then give it to another fucking library or just something. Here's the thing. We started this on the whole internet cafe versus library, but honestly, you know, whatever. My problem is that they're wanting to convert libraries into digital format. It's not just, oh, hey, here's an internet cafe type library.
It's not
this
an adjunct. It's not an
right.
adjunct.
They're wanting
they want
to
it
replace.
As a replacement. Right.
Exactly. And that's the problem I have here. And I just want to clarify that. You know me, the clarifier. So that's the real issue here, at least for me. And honestly, it legitimately just saddens me that these books are being destroyed. I mean, this is our history, and you're just destroying them and replacing it with digital, but it's not the same. I mean, I can't even fathom how to articulate just the severity of how horrible this is. It's kind of like, all right, let me put it to you in nerd terms. In the 80s, you had all of these He-Man figures, right? Okay, this is way cheapening it, but I'm just saying, you know, you have these things and you don't see the value, and you're like, okay, these are my toys, and then you throw them away or you sell them at a garage sale, and then a few decades later, you're kicking yourself in the ass because you're like, fuck, this is nostalgic. I want these. And you watch stuff and you're like, I used to have that. Or you go to eBay and you pay like $800 for a fucking figure that was maybe $10 back then. But it's kind of the same effect where society is burning and destroying these books because, hey, we're going digital and it's going to be one of those, oh, fuck, what did we do? And then it's gone after that. It is different because you're not going to get, you know, your first editions of Shakespeare or whatever on eBay. I mean, this is our history that we're destroying and people are okay with it. They're like, oh, it's okay. It's digital.
Okay, Jillian, since this week's dumbest thing is already turning into a full topic and I've got a lot to add here. So first topic is this and it's dumbest thing.
So, no,
and this also has side issues to deal with. You brought up that once it's there, but once it's gone, it's gone. And that brings us to the other issue of, is every book going to be digitized? I highly doubt it. Let's just stick with science fiction right now. Look at how many pulp science fiction stories were written in the 1940s, the 1950s, the 1960s. You really think all of those are going to be digitized? Hell, I have reprints of some books where they don't even know who wrote the thing. They said basically the only copy we had was missing the author's name. We've got a story. We don't know who owns it. You know what
I
that
did it.
Means?
I wrote it.
It means, yeah, you wrote it 40 years before you were born.
I totally did. I'm like Doctor Who. I wasn't going to say it, but now I outed myself. Thanks.
And Jillian, this goes to other avenues as well. When it comes to video games and movies, I was at a pawn shop just yesterday that they don't even take CDs anymore, let alone VHS tapes. That they won't take a video game that's under a PS2. No PS1 or less. And these things are getting lost. Goodwill won't even take VHS anymore, so people are starting to throw them away. Now, a conservative estimate is that at least one-third of all movies ever released to VHS still have no digital backup. And I don't even mean in a bootleg form. I mean that there are no known digital copies of these movies that are on VHS. And people are just throwing them away. So if all copies of, say, some shot on shittio horror film from 1986 get burned on VHS or get crushed in a trash compactor, that
or
movie's
buried in New
lost.
Mexico, like all part the ETs.
Part of cinematic history is lost. Video games. There are so many PC games that, because of how they were designed, can never be put onto a home system or a modern computer. They're just basically lost to time unless you go and dig out an old Apple IIe from 1982. Mm-hmm. That's the only way you can play this game. It's our history being lost for the convenience of, oh, it's digital.
It's just, it's senseless. I mean, there are, as you mentioned, books that you can't get digital versions of, and they're out of print. So what happens is you go to eBay and they're like $300. If you destroy the books and things get more rare, I mean, it kind of reminds me on some level of the movie Equilibrium, where basically books didn't really exist and, you know, people didn't have access to them. And obviously that
really?
Was like way more sci-fi.
You go to Equilibrium when that was a basic ripoff of Fahrenheit 451?
Oh my God, I'm Josh, and I do Radiodrome. No, we're not turning this into Radiodrome. I've seen Equilibrium.
Fahrenheit 451 was a book long before it was never mind. Go ahead.
Anyway, okay, I'm sure if you're saying it's a ripoff, then fine. Those who have seen Equilibrium and not Fahrenheit 451 or whatever it is will get what I'm trying to equate it to. So it's this whole, you know, everything is speeding forward technology and we'll lose print and everything. And then you have these people that are cherishing the books. I mean, hell, the Time Machine. You know, where the future didn't know how to read and they brought books and it was like, oh, hey, you have all these books. And obviously these are exaggerations and it's not how things are now. But when you destroy...
I think it's funny that you're using literary allegories to talk about how we're losing our literary allegories.
Anyway, my point is, when you depend so much on technology, what happens now when the power goes out? People flip. I have no TV. I have no internet. When you turn everything, what do I do when the power goes out? Oh, I sit there with a flashlight and I read. Can't read if my like Kindle or phone dies or what have you. I don't do the digital book thing. But when you're talking about all of our information source, not only that, but things get hacked. you know, we can't depend completely on technology. Technology is great. Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, hoo-boo technology. It's going, you know, blah, blah, blah. Back in my day, we had to change called encyclopedias.
But, so, Jillian, I know exactly what you're saying, and I have a perfect example from last year.
Like, say, fucking, you know, satellites, something happens and you just don't have technology. What are you going to do for research? I'm not even talking, oh, kids need to do their schoolwork or just go online in general, Facebook, what have you. I mean, there's certain things that you do need to look up. How many people still use phone books? I don't. So, yeah, if I need a phone number and my internet goes, and that's another thing, not everybody has internet. And we talked about this with the whole Xbox One debacle. Got areas that don't have access to internet. So obviously, yeah, they're saying, oh, we're going to phase out libraries and it's going to be all digitized. So I'm sure in those areas, there'll be books. But I mean, can you see just kind of, maybe not in our lifetime, but you're going to have these areas where it's like, oh, it's all digital. And then you've got, I mean, libraries have it hard as it is with funding. And so you're going to have these small towns or whatever that don't have internet access, what have you, that have actual libraries. What's going to happen? These books are going to be worth a shit ton of money. They're going to get fucking robbed.
There's a perfect example of how ridiculous this gets from, it was either a year or a year and a half ago, ironically enough, with the book 1984, that Amazon, anyone who bought it for Kindle from Amazon, all of a sudden woke up one day and it was gone. Just, it was wiped out. They all of a sudden didn't have 1984 on their Kindle anymore. Turned out that there was some sort of rights issue where the people who own the rights to 1984 had an issue with Amazon, and they just, boom, like that, overnight, the book is gone. Now, all the people who had print copies, what are they going to do? Come to your house and say, I'm sorry, there's been a rights issue. We would like you to return this book that you legally purchased from us. Because the way it works is that they control via the internet what you can read. That the next time you connect to the internet, or the next time you connect your Kindle to your computer to try and charge it or whatnot, your computer that's connected to the internet, they basically will go and authenticate, for lack of a better term, whether the books, in quotes, that you have on your Kindle are legal or not. And that's what happened with 1984. And just the pure irony of it being the book 1984 that they're pulling this shit with, it was totally lost on Amazon in every article I read about this.
So if you have a Kindle, print out your books when you download them, and then you'll have hard copies.
Then why not just buy the hard copy?
Because that's lame. We're all technologified. But yeah, so obviously some of the things we've said have been a little far-fetched and kind of poking fun at extremes. But when you think about it, movies and books that have been created in the past were very satirical on, oh, this is so crazy, let's talk about the situation, and it's shit that's going on nowadays. So even though we're kind of poking fun and, you know, just nonsensicaling certain situations, it's not impossible. And it's kind of scary. It's just, it's really sad and how dependent we are. I mean, let's say hospitals, everything go completely digital, which a lot of them go digital to an extent. But if you have no backups, people still make backups of files, everything. It's like, hey, I have my digital files. But if something goes down, you've got that paper copy. You're talking medical records and everything. So if something were to happen with our technology, whether it be satellites or whatever environmental conditions, and it goes down and it's a semi-permanent or permanent thing or just something that lasts a long time, we're going to be lost. And I think that when people think about libraries, they're just like, oh, studying, recreational reading, what have you. And yeah, it is to an extent, but this is kind of the step of showing how, you know, oh, well, 10 to 20% of libraries go digital, and you know, 100 years before all libraries are paperless, which is really scary, you know, not my lifetime anyways. But yeah, it's just, if that shouldn't be a goal, to wipe out the written word. It's just, it's mind-boggling.
And
why
yet,
you want to destroy history.
There's also this growing segment of the population. And yes, it's the younger people, because they're the ones that have been brought up in an era where there's always been email, where there's always been digital downloads. I hear this again and again. Get with the times, man. Advance with the times. People see me reading a book on like public transport or something, and they'll be like, what are you, in the 1980s? Come on, man. Live today. It's almost an arrogance.
Oh, it is. With this
digital stuff.
And honestly, you know, all of the people that sit at a computer for 50, 60 hours a week that are just, you know, grinding numbers, they end up having issues. So if we go to a society that's just like completely, you're looking at the computer all the fucking time, it's like, all right, your shit's going to go down. Your eyes are going to kill you. And I don't want to sit there and look at a screen when I want to read a book.
Jillian, it's the same kind of thing about how, and this even goes back to the 90s, a magazine I loved, Omni. They stopped printing in 1998, and they went to they called it a digital magazine. It was a website. It was their website. I cannot stand these digital magazines. You know how you made the Internet Cafe joke? You're not a digital magazine. They're a website. They call it a digital magazine. No, you're a website.
Shut down the third world. They lose, you win. Shut down America. You lose, they win. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
So what are you going to do?
Disappear.
He's entered the world code. No target code. Sir, that'll shut down the entire planet.
I told you, you'd better hope I didn't make it back.
Push that button. Everything we've accomplished for the past 500 years will be finished. Our technology, our way of life, our entire history. We'll have to start all over again. For God's sakes, don't do it, Snake!
My name's Plissken.
If you guys are new to What the Fuck, I am Hart D. Fisher, and you are about to have a motherfucking heart attack. And I'm a little riled up today. Last week, I was a little under the weather. I had a cold. Well, now I'm feeling a lot better, and Josh hipped me to this new thing that is in my neck of the woods, but I know this is happening across the country. We've already talked about NSA spying, and we have already gone into depth about how NSA spying affects you in everyday life, how they're breaking the law consistently, and here we have now the next step. Josh hit me to this, and apparently this is going down in Glendale, here one of the burbs of Los Angeles, California, where now the school is using taxpayers' money, which is your money, to spy on your child. That's right. They are now going to have a monitor watching your kids online. That's right. Yeah, they're out of school. They're not in school. They're at home. They're doing their own thing. It's Saturday night, and they're talking to their friends, but there's still a fucking government nanny who's going to spy on them all. Well, you know what? It's my understanding that under privacy settings on like a lot of the social media, you don't get to spy on anybody unless you friend them. So how the fuck is this guy in Glendale going to spy on everybody if you set your Facebook to private? Because the encroachment, the spying is getting worse and worse and worse. And these fucking cock munchers are fucking talking. What is it for? It's for the safety of the children. In case a child may be suicidal. Ooh, it's for the children. No, motherfucker. They're going to be monitoring political speech. They're going to be monitoring everything about your fucking child. And you know what? Isn't that the parents' job? Josh, you have a kid. How do you feel about this?
I think it is my job as a parent to monitor what I want my kid to be taking into his brain. Not the neighbor's kid, And it's also not the neighbor's responsibility to monitor what my kid does. When my son was smaller, NYPD Blue was still on the air. I didn't want him watching NYPD Blue because of the language. You know, he was at that age where kids repeat everything they hear. I made that choice as a parent. My wife made that choice as a parent. The neighbors do not get to make that choice for me.
All I see, dude, is another opportunity for some creepy child molester to be molesting kids. We have an epidemic in this country of child molestation, and it's happening from the coach, from the priest, from the teacher, and now you're going to insert another person deep into their lives who can spy on them, know who they're angry with. I mean, a parent doesn't even have time to really sit on their kid's Facebook. Josh, do you spy on your kid's Facebook?
No. No, I don't. He can post whatever he wants. But there's something else here, Hart. There's something else that the parents, since this is their job, a lot of them are okay with this because they're lazy. I don't have time to monitor my kid. The school's willing to do it for me. I don't want him doing drugs and having sex and being suicidal. I don't see a downside to this.
And you know what, man? This is a private company. They've hired a private company to spy on the children, and the company won't disclose its methods and practices in gathering the students' information. Who knows who the fuck they're firing? Because right now the whole country is in arms over this shooting at the naval shipyard. Everybody's talking about that, and they're going to use that as an excuse to spy on people more. But my question for the people at the naval shipyard is, that guy who shot up that naval shipyard, he had a history of gun violence. He had a history of shooting up other cars. He shot off his guns at innocent people. He shot up a guy's tires on the street. He shot off his gun in his apartment. He has a history of gun violence. How the fuck does an asshole like that get a security clearance at a naval shipyard? How the fuck does he get that security clearance? What kind of an asshole is going to be working for this company spying on the kids? He says that he employs no more than 10 full-time staffers, as well as a larger portion of contract workers across the globe who will spy on your fucking kid. That means you might have a spy in another country spying on your child. And this is just starting in Glendale. Who knows where else this is happening? What the fuck is going on in this goddamn country where they think it's a good idea to hire a private company that doesn't even reveal who its employees are, what its hiring practices are, and they're going to be able to spy on your underage child? What fucking genius came up with this fucking idea? We've had campus shootings. We've had stalkers. Pretty little students have been disappearing from Occidental College and getting raped. It's an issue with the school board at Occidental College has been hushing up the rapes and the sexual assaults on their campus. What do you think is going to happen with this kind of monitoring? What kind of thing are they going to hush up next? What happens when you got another Sandusky fucking molesting children and the university is helping him cover it up and the other coaches are helping Sandusky cover up his molestations? Wouldn't this little spy operation help them to cover up more? What about the Steubenville rapists? You know, they helped cover up what those football kids did. Is that what's going to happen? You're going to have a secret spy who's going to help cover up an emerging scandal of football kids who raped some poor girl? I mean, people are not thinking this through in any means. There needs to be a serious lawsuit about this. This has got to fucking stop. This is the kind of thing that puts your child in danger. They say that it's all about keeping your kids safe. That's fucking horseshit. This is about covering the school's bottom end. They want to make sure that if a kid kills himself, they're covered so they can't get sued. This is what this is about, guys. It's more about lawyering up and spying on the kid to protect the liability of the school. It has nothing to do with about helping these kids. It's not about helping these kids. How can you as a kid feel free? I mean, Josh, remember when you got out of school, you're like, yeah, I'm free to be who I need to be, who I am. And now you're going to have a school nanny spy on your ass all day. Does this not sound like Nazi Germany or what?
It's a chilling effect. If you know you're being monitored, you're going to watch your behavior. When you watch your behavior, you're going to watch how you think. That's the dangerous part. They want to change how these kids act.
Because what's next? You're going to work for a major law firm and the law firm is going to hire a guy to spy on you? Well, guess what? Just because I work for your job during the day doesn't mean you own me at night. This is insanity, guys. This is insanity. We're really starting to see the crackdown. This is scary, and this is how it happens. One school district here, another school district there, and this is how it spreads across the whole fucking country. Something I haven't been able to talk about, but here in California, very, very quietly, they passed a lot of fucked up gun laws. They passed a lot of stupid gun laws that aren't going to protect anybody except for criminals. They're only going to help protect criminals. And what I see here with this unwarranted monitoring of our children, I don't want any motherfucker spying on my fucking kid. You get my kid during school hours. If my kid happens to show up and be on the swim team, you get him during swim team hours. But when he's out of school, that's my fucking kid, you son of a bitch. And you don't get to talk to me about how I raise my kid. You get to shut your fucking hole and get the fuck out of my life. Because that's America, goddammit. We do have a right to privacy in this country. We do have a right to pursue happiness in the way we want without a goddamn spy on our back. And that's the thing. Taxpayers' money is going to this. Did the Glendale parents get together and get to vote on this, Josh? I mean, you brought this to my attention, and you've spoken about this at length. Has the parents been notified of this?
The parents have been notified. They didn't get to vote on it. Now, you can technically opt out as a student, but by having your privacy settings set to only friends. Here's the thing. The company and the school are telling parents, we encourage you, your children's Facebook pages and social media pages, open to the public so we can monitor it.
And here's this. They're going to stifle criticism of the teaching staff. The superintendent said that as far as anything said about teachers, as long as it's appropriate, it will be ignored. Well, fuck you, motherfucker. Who decides what is appropriate on your child's Facebook? Are you telling me the school gets to decide what is appropriate of your son or your daughter's Facebook? Is the school now going to dictate to you, mom and dad, what your son or daughter can tweet or Facebook? That's their business. That is their decision to make. It does not have anything to do with the school. If a kid wants to go home and talk about Dr. Banner is a piece of shit and a fuckwad and a cocksucker, that's his fucking right. You guys hear me talk a lot of mean shit on this show, and I call it the way I see it. These are my opinions, and I have a right to my opinion. If, in my opinion, if I feel that a council member of the Los Angeles City Council puts kids in poison parks, I think that person's a scumbag, and that's my right to say that. This principal in this school is saying that they're going to discipline kids for any criticism of their staff that they deem is inappropriate. Well, that could mean anything inappropriate. What the fuck does inappropriate mean? That's all about taste. Hey, man, do you like all the basil I put in my spaghetti sauce? No, I want more garlic in it. It's about taste. And that's what they're doing. They're using this really weak language, this really broad language, to dance around the issue. And we're going to pay for this. Taxpayers are paying for this bullshit. Do you guys at home want little Nazi monitor? And it sounds so red state. It sounds so horrible.
And see, I wanted to believe it was satire at first, but it doesn't seem to be. That's the scary part.
This is truly frightening. Truly, truly frightening. Well, folks, if you have this happening in your school, I want you to find me on the web. I want you to find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I'm up there. You could find us Heart Attack Radio. You could find us on What the Fuck. And you know what? If you're a little thirsty, pick up some Hydra Blue. That's right. I'm still pushing the Hydra Blue, guys. It's great stuff. It's really good high-frequency water. I buy it myself. Use the coupon code Horror. Use the coupon code Horror, and you're going to get 15% off your order of Hydra Blue at HydraBlue.com. I'm Hart Fisher. I'm out of here. I can't take it anymore. This Glendale thing, this spy thing, fucking makes me sick to my stomach. I might need to go fucking puke one out now.
Jillian, you know I'm a big advocate for freedom and personal freedoms. And, you know, I'm a big opponent of SOPA and digital spying and whatnot. A Los Angeles school district in Glendale, California, is paying $40,000 to a private firm to report and monitor 14,000 middle and high school students to check their posts on Twitter, Facebook, and social media for the upcoming year in case these kids are talking about possible violence, drug use, bullying, truancy, suicide, or suicidal threats. What the f- is this what we've come to, that you as a teenager, you have no freedom? That who the fuck authorizes that the Glendale School District can monitor your personal Facebook page?
No, they are saying that they are not monitoring private pages. The guy reporting on this, the what is it, Lee team, he's saying that he disagrees and doesn't believe them, but we're not going to Fox News this and say that they actually are. To me, they don't have access if the settings are private.
What fucking teenager, especially a Los Angeles teenager, has their settings to private? The whole point of Facebook and Twitter is to have as many people as possible see it. Most of them don't even know about this. This was
no, they do. They do. They told them. The school told all of the parents and kids. They informed them.
They told the parents, who were then told to tell the kids. Now, if you're a parent and you think your kid might be getting involved in drugs, are you going to tell them that, you know what, you're being monitored and I'm going to be given
monitor what their kids are doing? Everybody's putting it on the schools, and then it's kind of like, oh, I'm washing my hands, so my kid can get mad at the school instead of me being a parent and check and make sure my kid's not getting in trouble. And here's the thing. Not a lot of kids will put their privacy settings, you know, on private so only their friends can see it. But, oh, well, we've had so many stories where people get fired or in trouble because they're posting horrible shit about their jobs. And so the job is like, well, fine. If you don't like it, you can leave. There are consequences. We've talked about this before. There's consequences to what you put online. Okay, and if you are posting online, I'm going to shoot up my school, or, oh, man, I did cocaine the other day, or what have you, you are making public statements in the public eye, and anybody can go and see that, including school officials, teachers, what have you. Okay, if a teacher has Twitter and is like, oh, you know, going around, and let's say they're, I don't know, some kids and teachers are friends or whatever, they just find something through networking, what have you, and they see that, you know, their student is talking about all of this, you know, bad stuff that they're monitoring. Are they just going to sit there? No, they're going to contact the parents or contact the school or something.
No, this is thought crimes. This is thought crimes. And it has a preemptive strike against these kids. These kids are going into this going, okay, if I know I'm being monitored, I have to watch what I say. Watch what you say is only one step from watch what you think. This is a preemptive thought crime.
No, it's not, because you're posting it on a public forum. So if you're saying someone has a website and they're talking about like a list of students they want to kill, and they're saying
internet stalking.
Okay, well then you're talking about like To Catch a Predator shit is internet stalking, because they should be able to say whatever they want to say, and it's entrapment because they're being monitored. It's the
same
thing.
They should be able to say whatever they want to say. It's when the say becomes an action, that's when a line is crossed. You should be able to say whatever you want.
That's fine, but there are consequences. So, okay, it would be no different than if, like, little Brittany is like, oh, man, I got so drunk and stoned with my friends the other day, and the parent sees it. So the parent, even the news people talking in the video, they're like, well, yeah, if I can have an extra set of eyes to, like, watch my kid and do all this. It's like, you know what? If you want to know what your kid's doing on social media, fucking check on it yourself.
Exactly. You do not the school has no right to stalk the students. It has no right to have preemptive thought crimes on these students. It has no right to start profiling.
I don't think it's thought crime.
Students. This is profiling
of
the
youth.
Yes,
I don't
it is.
Okay, well, here's one thing.
It
going
is assuming.
Less topic.
It is assuming that they are going to be doing something wrong. They did not go into this going, you know what? I want to see if little Debbie talks about how she kissed Johnny for the first time. They're going, we assume these students are going to be violent. We assume they're going to be bullying. They are preemptively trying to stop these, which is fine in and of itself. You want to stop a crime before it happens, but you cannot stalk these people and violate their rights to do it. Is it that as a teenager, you no longer have any rights? That's what it seems like, because
it's the same
when you try to
adults.
Do this. No, it's not, because adults have been suing over this shit. Adults have been suing when people go and they apply for a job and people go dig through their last 4 years of Facebook to find, oh, there's a bong in that photo. We don't think he's right for this. You cannot stalk people. You still have freedom. Just because you post something in a public forum does not mean that that should have to affect everything you do. Everything I post on Facebook, I make public because I'm a pseudo public figure. The same as you are, Jillian. And it's different with, like, say, my mom. What she posts is not these people should not be privy to that. Same with my son and my wife.
Then they need to make their pages private. Because when you put something out there for the public eye, for the purpose, as you stated, of to get as many people to see it as possible, don't fucking post pictures of your bong, okay? Don't say that you went out with your friends and got trashed, okay? And here's the thing. They're not saying, like, all right, because of the bullying and everything, we've talked both sides of that it's like, yeah, something needs to be done about it. There is so much that we're both reading in between the lines here, okay? Do I think that they should hire a corporation to do this? Fuck no. They are wasting so much funding when schools are hurt of funding. I am not in favor of that. But on the principle of the whole, oh, it's wrong to check up on kids, if a teacher sees a kid and they're like, okay, well, I think Johnny is, like, suicidal, I'm going to let the parents know, and whoever is, like, checking up on his Twitter or Facebook, it's fucking public. There's consequences for what you say publicly. And I'm not saying, like, I think you're reading it into it in a fact of, like, oh, I'm pissed at so-and-so, and they're going to get in trouble for saying they're pissed at somebody. But they're talking about, you know, basically safety, which, whatever, the parents should be doing their job anyways, but the whole, you know, oh, well, there should be no ramifications. If you go and say that you're dealing drugs to other students or whatever, and you admit that publicly, and you're stupid enough to do that, then you deserve whatever's coming to you because you're fucking talking about breaking the law in a public medium.
But that's the point. This is data mining. It doesn't matter if you say it publicly. It's the fact that they're specifically data mining for this stuff. This is the same thing that the NSA is doing. The NSA is taking your public Google searches. Because remember, even though you type something into Google, Google owns that information. It's no longer your private search that you're searching for whatever you are. Google now owns it, and they can legally turn it over to the NSA, which they have. This is data mining. Data mining is wrong, because data mining will always pull up way more false positives than it will actual threats. And that's the problem with these kids. The school is sending them a message. You're being watched. Watch what you say, watch what you think, watch what you do.
Okay, here's the thing. Again, there isn't enough descriptive information on how this actually works with the amount of money they're paying to this firm. That seems like a lot, but it doesn't say, you know, for how long, and it basically covers all of the students. But there's not necessarily someone sitting there, you know, 10-hour days searching on each student. It's basically like, hey, we're going to be checking up and make sure that there's no standards. But, like, okay, here's the thing, too. And again, I'm not saying I don't agree in profiling, but it's kind of like kids get profiled at school anyways. My thing is, when you're saying you should be able to say whatever you want, there are consequences for what you post publicly. So as a rights issue, it's kind of like, you're out there stating it publicly. So if you state that you committed a crime, or that you are, you know, talking about shooting up a school or whatever, there's consequences, whether you say it to another individual or you're saying it in a public forum. Okay? I mean, but there have been people that have There have been people that have had websites in the past set up with, like, I mean, it's the same thing as kids who have had public websites that were threatening, whether it be the whole school or individuals, kill lists, things like that. It's no different going to someone's Twitter or Facebook and seeing it than happening across their website. So when you're at school, yeah, you're profiled if you're being threatening or making statements or something. They're like, hey, we're going to check this out. I don't think, I don't like the statement where they say, well, parents, if you're for this and your child's page is private, you should, you know, get them to change the settings to public. Now that I have a huge problem with. It's like, fuck you on that. It's like, you know, fine, have it private. If you want to check in on your child, then you say, hey, you log in. This is my house, my computer. I'm going to see what you've been doing. You don't force something public like that. I mean, we've talked about pictures that get out there, what have you, and especially if you're talking kids in grade school, the pedophiles get in on things, and it's like there's ways to maintain your children. And I mean, hell, what was it, last week or the week before, we were saying, you know, monitor. There's ways to check up on your kids, and as a parent, you have the right, okay? And we've all done the whole, I mean, hell, I got mad at my parents, been like, what privacy, you know, teenager. But honestly, yeah, you're their kid. It's their responsibility to make sure that you're on, you know, the right path, whichever they feel to raise you.
But responsibility is part of the problem here, is people are being held responsible for fucking jokes. Look at the student that made a fucking reference to shooting up a school when he died on League of Legends. He went to jail for that. As a terroristic threat.
Right. No, that should be look at like these going people to that, jail. That would be a looked into thing because something like
that's
that.
That's exactly the point. You've got that's the problem with data mining. Right, that's what I brought
up with. No. But you are going way on the extreme here versus, oh, these people are looking at their Facebooks and Twitter.
But like I said, it also has that chilling effect, Jillian. If you know you're being monitored, you are going to act differently than you normally would. Whether that's better or worse, that's on an individual basis. But right. You will act differently. That's the chilling effect this Glendale school wants to send. We're watching you. It literally is Big Brother. Big Brother is always watching you. We are watching what you do. So you need to watch what
right.
you do.
Here's my feelings on this, and I may have not been very articulate, and I think caught up in arguments. All right. My thing is, yes, what you post online, like I know you were talking about privacy and not using things. Should they hire a company to sift through this? No. If they see someone acting in a suspicious manner within the school, something's going on, fine. Punch up the kid and maybe see if there's anything. I don't see anything wrong with that. Like if you are looking up and be like, whoa, something's going on here. Just as a parent would, because your page is public. But with this whole, hey, we're going to be monitoring you, things like that, you're absolutely right. They're not going to post something. It's like if your parents told you, be like, hey, man, I'm checking your page. Are you going to say I like went out and spoke to Blunt and got fucking trashed with my friends? No, because you know your parents are watching. In that same statement, though, if they were doing this, or even if teachers were doing this and not on a company level, I think you would be pissed by saying, and they're not letting you know. So it's kind of going to go both ways. And I get what you're saying on the whole, yeah, Big Brother and type profiling. But again, there's the article doesn't go into everything. And so it's kind of interesting to know what the process would be, whether it's kind of random searching case by case, what have you. It's saying how many students it covers and how much they're paying. But it's kind of like with services, you say, hey, we want you to do this for us. It could be a flat rate for who knows how long. It doesn't say. So I think because of the magnitude of the amount of kids in the school and what they're paying, both of us are reading in between the lines when we don't necessarily know, which, yeah, the way the world is, most likely, maybe it is a whole, you know, they're checking everybody all the time. My thing is, I don't see any problem with case by case basis. But honestly, the parents should be doing it and not the school. And if something goes on in the school, fucking call the parent. But I think also this arises from this, you know, upheaval of parents and society getting mad at the schools when these school shootings and things like that happen. Like, you should have prevented this. You should have known. So schools are feeling responsible and say, hey, they want us to do something. What can we do? So it's kind of a double-edged sword. People want, you know, the schools to do more, but then it's like, all right, well, we only see your kid for a certain amount of hours a day. All right, you want us to take care of this. We'll check up and make sure everything's hunky-dory when the parents should be doing it. But the case is, honestly, the parents should have recognized it before the fucking school. Don't blame the school for these things, and they wouldn't have to take further measures.
I disagree. I think the school has no right, under any circumstances, to be digging into your personal life. That is for your parents, as you pointed out. The parents should be monitoring their kids. And I don't mean monitoring in like a helicopter parent sort of way. I mean, like, if they start to see little Johnny is starting to act really weird and he's spending all his time on his computer and he's got a bunch of bruises all over his face out of nowhere, maybe as a parent, you're going to look into that. Not only is it not the school's responsibility, but the fact you're never going to find this out properly by data mining. Data mining has been proven to never work effectively.
You're assuming they're data mining, though.
That is what they're doing.
How do you know that?
Monitoring everybody, looking for keywords, including their little teenage slang, that's data mining by definition.
But it doesn't say that they're sitting there searching for every single thing all hours of the day.
I'm sure their computer systems are.
Parents should be looking into it. They need to recognize these things and be more active in their children's lives. But in turn, you have the parents turning to the schools and say, do something, we want you to do something. And it's even been said that a lot of parents are for this, which honestly, because they won't have to do it themselves now.
They're lazy.
Situation, right. And aside from the data mining, yeah, if you are just completely keywording, like I said, that's kind of like an internet locker search on something that you are putting out there publicly. So on that level, barring all of the extreme stuff, like there's consequences for your actions. So on this smaller level, I say, you know, if you're out there and you're, you know, saying these things, committing crimes or talking about certain things, talking about shooting up your school, and they go to it on a case by case level of a concerned school, faculty, what have you, I say on that whole freedom of speech issue, you put it out there publicly, you know.
But my point is, this is not during school hours. If it doesn't pertain to school, the school has no goddamn right, none whatsoever, to be monitoring what Johnny is doing at 8 p.m. when he's at home hanging out with his friends. They have no goddamn right to be watching him when he's not in that fucking school. That's where I draw that fucking line. They are monitoring these kids for what their social media sites say 24 hours a day, whether it pertains to the school or not. They didn't say they were looking for drug use or violence or anything like that.
Yes, they did.
On school property. They said they were looking for it in general. That is not the school's goddamn responsibility, nor is it this goddamn company's. That is up to the parent. So I have a big fucking problem with this.
That the parents are so for it because they don't want to do it themselves. But that's a society we live in where parents are like wanting to schools to do everything. And if you had parents paying more attention to their kids, like when we talked with a troll mom about monitoring everything and getting up in everybody's, you know, business and tracking people down and cyberbullying, it's like if parents were taking care of their kids, the schools wouldn't have to step in. Other people wouldn't have to step in. But that's our problem, is the parents aren't. Kind of goes back into the whole technology thing where it's like, hey, you just do this. We don't have to do anything. We're not going to help you with your homework. There's this website you can go to and like live chat with somebody. I was disgusted when I saw that commercial. There was a commercial for some like kind of like a Skype chat, but it's not Skype. And it's a website. And the kids call it to get help with their homework.
So, Jillian, since your Facebook page is public and it always has been, where can people contact you if they wish to?
On Facebook by my name. Kind of already out.
Tell them what your last name is. Some people don't know.
It's Zurawski. So it's Jillian Zurawski, Zurawski. I am also on Twitter at The Mistress J. You can also find me at thecinemasnob.com and occasionally on geekjuicemedia.com. Now list your 11D7 things that they can find you at.
I'm also on geekjuicemedia.com, 1201beyond.com, and you can contact me at 1201beyond@gmail.com. Three is not 11D7.
Whatever, 11D7 is fun to say.
We'll be right back. What the Fuck is a 1201 Beyond production. Visit 1201beyond.com for more great shows.